Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Tapping Into Love by Monica McCallan, narrated by Lori Prince. Chapter 1. Sierra Westmore eased her car into a parking spot around the back of the small inn and took a deep breath. She flipped the visor down and gave herself a cursory glance in the mirror. These days, she always made it a point to not look too closely, close enough to make sure she was presentable, but not so much that she focused on the bags under her eyes, or on how her lips turned down in a slight frown so often that she had small wrinkles at the edges of her mouth. She shook her head and ran her hands down her blazer before she tucked a strand of blonde hair behind her ear. It had been 15 years since she'd set foot in Maple Run, situated less than an hour outside of Portland, Maine, and no amount of breathtaking foliage or bright starry nights away from the air pollution of cities could make her want to be back here. The fall air was crisp, a slight chill enveloping her body as she stepped out of the car and pulled her black peacoat tighter around her tall frame. The parking lot had a narrow cobblestone path rounding the side of the hotel that she walked gingerly across, hoping her impractical heels made the uneven journey safely. At the sound of the opening door, a woman looked up. She was seated behind an ornate wooden check-in desk, her fingers thumbing through the pages of a book. She cocked her head to the side and studied Sierra, like she was trying to place her. No doubt this would be the first of many similar interactions she didn't want to have. "Welcome to the Maple Inn," the woman said with a soft, grounded voice whose confidence surprised Sierra. The receptionist continued to stare, her expressive green eyes narrowing as her gaze flicked back and forth between Sierra's eyes and mouth, like she was working to solve a complicated puzzle. Sierra cleared her throat, and the woman lifted her stare to make eye contact again. "I'm sorry. You just look so familiar," the desk clerk continued chipperly. She must not have been checking Sierra out. "Have you stayed with us before?"
"No, this is my first time."
Sierra stared at the wall behind the woman, her eyes drawn to the photos and mementos plastered on almost every free surface, spanning back what looked like decades. "Well, as I said, welcome. Can I get your name to look up your reservation?" The woman's fingers hovered over a small keyboard, waiting for instruction. Sierra tapped her manicured fingernails against the desk and tried to remember her manners. The drive from Boston had only taken a few hours, but all she wanted was to get her room and crawl into bed as soon as possible.
"The reservation is under S. Clark."
"Great. I have you right here in one of our suites," the woman said. She had light freckles dusting across her fair skin. Her small lips were pink and rosy. "I'm Lucy, and I'll be happy to help with anything you need during your stay."
"As in Lucy Parsons?"
Sierra slipped her sunglasses from her face and put them on the counter between them. Lucy Parsons had been a few years behind her in grade school, slightly mousy, as she remembered, and more often with her nose in a book than talking to other students. That was not the woman in front of her now, her auburn hair framing her face, thick and lush with strands of gold woven throughout. She still had the book, but Sierra's thoughts were not at all innocent as she watched a light blush wrap around the woman's neck like a festive scarf. Lucy laughed softly, the whites of her teeth contrasting against her flushed skin like it was the funniest thing she'd heard recently. "The one and only, especially in a town this small. Sadly, I'm having trouble putting a name to your face." There it was again, when she calmed from her laughter, the probing focus of her stare that made Sierra feel slightly uneasy. But the truth was going to come out sooner or later. It had been silly to even use her middle name instead of her last name. If this town was anything like it had been when she was a kid, news of her return would spread faster than butter on a fresh biscuit.
We went to school together, I think. I'm Sierra. Sierra Westmore, she said, extending her hand across the counter. Lucy looked at her hand, then back to Sierra's face, then back down to her hand, although she made no move to shake it. Westmore. Her tone was one of disbelief, any hint of a smile on her lips disappearing like it had never existed. Why did you come here? Sierra cleared her throat. No one had spoken to her like that in a long time. Because I needed a place to stay. Why aren't you staying at your family's estate? She pushed, as if Sierra owed her an explanation. I don't really think that's any of your business. She didn't do a good job of hiding the clip in her voice, but it had been a grueling day at the office before she'd made the drive. Westmore Estate hadn't been her home for a long time, and she thought she'd at least get a night of pretending it wasn't a horrible idea to come back, regardless of the reason. Lucy shifted slightly in her chair and put the key she'd grabbed for the room back on its hook. Well, as a private establishment, we do have the right to refuse service to anyone. I'm sorry, but I don't think this is the right inn for you. Sierra's pulse picked up, the heat of embarrassment causing her coat to become too stuffy, like she needed to shed it to take a full breath. Her jaw ached from unconsciously gritting her teeth, working to not say something too biting. At least years as a lawyer had given her more tact than the other woman in thinking before she spoke. I think I'm a better judge of what's right for me than you are. Lucy hopped down from her chair so that she stood up to her full height, still a few inches shorter than Sierra in her heels. It didn't matter. Lucy's small shoulders were squared, the sleeves of her flannel rolled up to her forearms. She was surprisingly imposing as she flexed her palms on the counter. Westmores are not welcome here. Listen, I have not set foot in this town in 15 years. Whatever problem you have, it isn't with me. If your last name is Westmore, then it absolutely is with you. Lucy gave her a dismissive glance that only infuriated Sierra further. There are any other number of inns in this area that would be more than happy to have you as a guest. But not this one. Lucy nodded like the answer was obvious. Yep, not this one. Sierra pushed her tongue against the back of her teeth before she said something she'd regret. Can you tell me why that is exactly? Pretty sure I don't have to. Lucy grabbed a small sign at the edge of the desk and slid it between them. Stepped out. Be back soon, it read in cursive letters. I'm sure you can find your way out, she said as she moved quickly away from the desk and disappeared through a swinging door. I'm here! Although she had given Hannah a heads up that she was coming over, Lucy used her extra key to let herself into her best friend's homey Cape Cod. They'd been in and out of one another's houses since childhood, but both of their schedules had picked up lately with planning the fall fest. It was nothing new for Lucy to still make it over a few nights a week. Their hangouts the last few years had coordinated around Hannah's more regimented life as the mother of a young daughter. Shh. Hannah rounded the corner with her finger over her mouth. I just got Chloe down for the night. If she knows Auntie Lucy is over, I'll never get her back to sleep. Sorry, Lucy whispered, taking off her shoes next to the door. Do you have wine? Please tell me you have wine. Same place it always is. You feeling okay? Hannah asked, following Lucy into the kitchen. Lucy went straight for the wine rack and grabbed an unopened bottle and two glasses, setting them atop the counter. She turned quickly and focused her attention on her best friend. You will not believe who walked into the Maple Inn tonight. Who? Guess, Lucy said as she poured each of them a glass. I play guess who with a 4-year-old, so I don't think you're prepared for my skills. I don't think you're gonna guess. Hannah shifted across the floor in her slippers and tapped a finger on her chin. Drake Westmore? Wait, why would you guess him? Also, weirdly close. You really are a pro at this.
You told me I was never going to guess, so I had to assume it was someone you'd never expect to see set foot in there.
Are the Westmores even legally allowed on the Maple Inn's property?
No, they are not. And that's exactly what I told Sierra Westmore today when she tried to rent a room.
Wait. Sierra Westmore tried to rent a room? Why didn't she stay at her family's house?
Lucy nodded, along with Hannah emphatically.
That's what I asked her.
Hannah let out a loud breath.
You didn't.
I absolutely did.
I love how you're Maple Run's sweetheart until the Westmores come up, and then suddenly you're a mama bear protecting her cubs.
I don't really know what you're talking about, but I was not expecting to see her walk in. She said she's been gone for 15 years. I had no idea it was that long.
She's probably back for her dad's funeral.
Lucy frowned. Right. Robert Westmore had died last week.
I kind of forgot that while I was kicking her out.
Hannah patted Lucy's shoulder gently.
I don't know what she was thinking walking in there, Luce. It's not your fault, even if she's going through a tough time.
But what happened? Did you guys recognize each other? I need details.
This is the most interesting thing to happen in Maple Run since the Donaldson's goats escaped and had their own parade down Main Street.
Lucy laughed and walked over to throw her body down on Hannah's living room sofa. She'd gone with her to purchase it a few years ago, the old one reminding Hannah too much of her late husband, Ben.
We didn't recognize one another.
Even though Lucy had come over expressly to tell this story, she felt strange saying the words, like she was telling a secret.
I told her she looked familiar. Also, get this. She checked in under a fake name.
No.
Hannah threw her hand up to cover her mouth, displaying the perfect amount of shock mingled with curiosity.
Right? Who does that? They're not the Rockefellers. The Westmores are the epitome of big fish in a small pond.
Lucy humped, although she couldn't stop her immature words from spilling out. She'd never forgive Robert Westmore for all he'd put her family through, whether or not his daughter had participated in his crooked, duplicitous schemes to maintain control of Maple Run and expand his maple syrup empire. She had directly benefited from the fortune he'd amassed.
So, how did she look? I always remember her being pretty, but I think she was older than us.
Hannah took a sip of wine and lifted an eyebrow, like she was daring Lucy to tell the truth. Lucy was absolutely not going to mention that age had been very kind to Sierra Westmore, and that she had been more than a little bit curious about her when she'd stepped into the Maple Inn, all high fashion, with a commanding air that made Lucy slightly weak in the knees. She sidestepped the information Hannah really wanted.
She looked like a wolf in sheep's clothing. God, you're melodramatic. I forget that sometimes.
It's true. But I don't really know what there is to say. We had a strangely nice conversation until I found out who she was. Once I did, all I could focus on was getting her out of there as fast as possible. I don't care if it makes me a bad person. I'll never forgive her father.
But she's not her father.
Lucy scrunched up her nose.
But she is a Westmore. I don't think any of us want to be judged for who we're related to.
That's not true. You're so proud to be related to Chloe.
Not when she picks her nose or when she wore a cape for an entire month.
She's practical, and she knows what she wants. Lucy raised her voice again, and Hannah slapped at her leg in warning.
Sorry,
she whisper-yelled across the small distance between them.
I wonder how long she's in town.
Hannah mused as she pushed a few strands of brown hair back into her short ponytail. She didn't look nearly as exhausted as the single parent of a young child should, in Lucy's opinion. But Hannah had a tenacity that Lucy had always admired, a willingness to make the best of whatever life threw at her.
Who knows? She obviously has a life somewhere else, so I wouldn't expect it to be for long. Probably just for the funeral. Are you going?
Lucy's head whipped up, and she rolled her empty wine glass between her fingers.
To the funeral?
Yeah.
Why are you acting like that's a weird question?
Why would I go? Hannah's eyes softened, and she smiled sadly. Closure?
Funerals are to celebrate those we love and to say goodbye to them. I don't need the bad karma that would come with dancing on Robert Westmore's grave.
Oh my God.
Hannah bit her lip and tried to hold back a surprised laugh.
I think the day I found out he died, I had the best night of sleep I'd had in years. No more worrying about insane fabricated lawsuits or smear campaigns against the inn.
Lucy stilled for a moment and grew serious.
Do you think that makes me a bad person?
Hannah reached out her hand and enveloped Lucy's, giving it a gentle squeeze.
Sweetie, I think all that makes you is a person. I know how much you loved your dad, and I know you blame Mr. Westmore for his heart attack. It makes sense to be conflicted.
My mom wouldn't be happy if she heard me saying these things.
That's because your mom rivals the saintliest of saints. She makes Jesus look like a bad boy.
Lucy's ears perked up.
Is that an angle you're working for a new book?
Oh, God. Hannah laughed before draining the rest of her wine.
There's probably a market for it. I can't believe some of the tropes picking up steam these days.
Hannah's tenacity extended to the professional world as a best-selling romance novelist. And although straight romance novels weren't Lucy's cup of tea, she'd faithfully read each of the dozen books Hannah had written, many times acting as an editor and offering feedback in their early stages. She'd read thousands of books in her 30-odd years of life, and she couldn't be more proud of Hannah's accomplishments. She was thankful that her friend had found a way to have a great quality of life and stay with her daughter in Maple Run.
Okay, now this is a way better conversation. I want to hear all about those tropes,
Lucy said, willing away the strange feeling that had been percolating in her stomach since Sierra Westmore had walked back into town today. Sierra stood in front of the small cottage situated at the far edge of the Westmore estate. She debated knocking, but she'd come this far. It was too late to turn back now. She looked down at her black dress and ran her fingers soothingly across the strand of pearls encircling her neck. Her mother's pearls, one of the few things she'd taken with her before leaving all those years ago. The door opened a few agonizing seconds after she'd knocked, and her rigid posture melted as she stared back into warm brown eyes that she'd gone far too many years without seeing.
Drake, she breathed, instinctively taking a step toward her older brother.
He enveloped her in a hard hug, and she could barely stop the sob that worked to push free from her chest.
Hey, sis. Long time no see.
He finally stepped out of the hug to let her into the cottage. It was more modern than she expected, obviously updated since she'd last seen it. She felt the same about Drake. The years since she'd last seen him had been far more kind than she felt her own passage of time had been. He had the slightest hint of gray at his temples, but his eyes remained sincere and light, even given the somber tone of the day. At 40, he looked distinguished, every bit the eligible bachelor she assumed he was.
How long have you lived in the cottage?
She asked as she stepped into the open floor plan of the downstairs.
Since you left. Have a seat,
he said, gesturing toward a sleek gray sofa that contrasted nicely with the original wood floors and other wooden accents in the room. She sat down on the edge of the sofa and crossed her legs, surprisingly at a loss for words.
So, this is kind of weird, right?
He said, rubbing at the back of his neck.
Can I get you a drink or something?
Do you have whiskey?
Is it too early for whiskey?
He walked over to a decanter set on the table and poured them each a glass. He crossed the room in a few quick steps and handed her one of the tumblers before sitting in a chair a few feet away.
Didn't know if you'd make it back.
Sierra shrugged and worked to keep the emotion out of her voice.
Honestly, me either. How have you been?
He lifted his hand and adjusted his thin tie, like he wished he could slip the constricting fabric off and throw it in a ball on the floor. Besides the occasional birthday or holiday acknowledgement through text, they hadn't kept in touch,
mostly because of her unwillingness to engage. And Sierra couldn't stop the frown that worked its way across her lips before she answered.
Busy. Still in Boston. I'm most likely going to be offered senior partner at the firm soon.
That's great,
Drake said sincerely. He looked so much like their father it was hard for her to look at him. But the two men couldn't have been more different.
She shifted in her seat and ran her hand against the tweed material of the sofa, enjoying the slightly harsh feeling against her palms.
How's the maple syrup business?
Also busy. Dad didn't stop no matter what life threw at him. Working until the bitter end.
Sounds about right.
But he ended up with a successful business, so it seems like he went out how he intended.
You know I always wanted you to come back. This is your home.
Sierra cleared her throat and finished her glass of whiskey in a single gulp.
It was good for me to leave. Start my own life. Dad didn't want a daughter, and he especially didn't want a gay one. Striking out on my own was the best thing that could have happened to me. And I probably never would have done it if he wasn't such a misogynistic asshole. So really, I should thank him.
Drake's brow drew upward, a small smirk tugging at the corner of his mouth.
I hope you're not planning on leading with that at the funeral. I think he'd most hate me speaking from the heart, so it really would be perfect. I'm just glad you're back. How long are you staying?
Sierra stood up and wandered around the room, looking at all of the knickknacks adorning the thoughtfully designed space.
Probably just for the weekend.
I'd love it if you stayed longer. There's a lot we have to go over.
Like what?
Sierra, you're an estate lawyer. This is exactly what you do for a living.
There's nothing to do. You're still here, and I'm sure you inherited the company. I'm just a guest in town for a funeral.
She focused on a photo in a silver frame on the mantel. It was the two of them as children, with so much time and hurt between then and now. Drake scratched at his light stubble.
I know you don't really believe that.
15 years is a long time, Drake.
Look, I was going to wait to discuss this until after the funeral, but I guess now's as good a time as any.
Sierra turned around, her back pushing lightly into the wooden mantel beam.
Discuss what?
The future of Westmore Estate.
It's a sugar bush. What's there to discuss? There are still trees. You know how to run the business. You have months without Dad to prepare for the next harvest. It seems like an open and shut case.
I want you to stay and help me. I want us to run the business together.
Sierra scoffed. She'd missed her brother, but that was an absolutely insane idea.
That's not happening.
Why not? The reason you left is gone. You always loved the farm more than I did, and you've always been better at business than me. That's the open and shut case as far as I'm concerned.
It's not that simple, Drake. Should I just give up my life in Boston? Everything I've worked for?
If you can stay, even for just a few weeks, I'd really appreciate it. If it makes you feel any better, Dad ran our credibility with this town into the ground.
Sierra bristled and fingered the pearls around her neck again like they were a meditation rock.
Why would that make me feel better? I'm not that petty.
Drake ran his hand through his coiffed hair, ruffling it with his fidgety fingers.
I'm not sure, sis. I'm grasping at straws a bit here.
Sierra's heart lightened at the gesture that reminded her of Drake as a kid. But she didn't know what to do with that feeling, didn't understand how to just come back and pretend like everything that had happened was okay.
I don't need anything else tacked onto the list to prove he was an asshole. I am quite satisfied with what I experienced firsthand.
I know. I'm sorry. I know it's a lot to ask. And I know I have no right, but I am asking for your help. Just to get through this transition phase. There is so much paperwork. I can go out and tap maple trees for the rest of my days, but I am unbelievably lost when it comes to the business side of things.
That's a lot to admit, especially to someone you haven't seen in 15 years.
Drake took a few steps across the room and stood next to her in front of the fireplace.
You will always be my sister. I hated the decision that Dad made, but I couldn't change his mind.
Trust me. I tried.
Sierra rolled her eyes and gave him a playful shove.
I can't believe you're the older sibling. It makes no goddamn sense. Is that a yes?
Drake's eyes were earnest and full, his attention focused solely on Sierra's agreement or rejection of his request.
I can maybe give you some time on the weekends. No promises beyond that, since I'll need to check in with work and figure out what's possible.
Drake sighed and put his hand on her shoulder.
Thank you. Seriously, thank you. Also,
Sierra said as she thought about her less than comfortable prior evening spent in a motel outside the town limits.
I'm going to need a place to stay, and why the hell are we banned from the Maple Inn?
Lucy stood in the bright, open kitchen of the Maple Inn, wearing her favorite purple apron and surveying the guests seated around the long dining room table off to the side in the sunroom. She'd been making pancakes for the past hour with no end in sight. The visitors to Maple Run were intent on taking advantage of the breakfast part of the bed and breakfast this morning. But on a Saturday in early November, they expected to be busy, with guests coming from all over the country to soak in the beautiful fall weather. Maple tapping season wouldn't be upon them for another few months in early spring, but fall in Maine was beautiful in its own right, even without the delicious, sugary scent of maple syrup boiling in the sugar houses dotted across the landscape. Lucy had been up since 5 a.m., but it was a lifestyle she'd had for most of her adult life. At this point, sleeping in until 6 in the morning felt decadent. 11 out of 12 of the rooms were full, and she wasn't going to mention the missing guest unless her mother brought it up. In the decades since her father had died, they'd settled into a rhythm together running the Maple Inn. She spearheaded breakfast preparations each morning and worked the desk throughout the day, while her mother turned over rooms or socialized with guests. A small, quick flash burst across the room and encircled Lucy's legs. "Chloe!" she yelled down at a mop of dark hair, her arm braced against the granite countertop so she didn't lose her balance. "Auntie Lucy, I missed you!" Chloe bellowed as she continued to squeeze Lucy's legs as hard as her small arms would allow. "I missed you too, Bug. Where's your mom?" Lucy scanned the kitchen just as Hannah rounded the corner, surprisingly, dressed in all black. Lucy's mom, Jill Parsons, followed behind her, looking comfortable and relaxed in a chunky sweater and jeans, her wild gray hair clipped back on one side. She looked closer to 50 than 60, and had a far better fashion sense than her only daughter, always thoughtfully dressed in whatever the season dictated. Lucy barely bothered to think about what she wore, given for many months out of the year, her bulbous black coat covered it up anyway.
"Thanks for watching Chloe, Mrs. Parsons," Hannah said as they made their way toward the counter, spanning well over half the length of the massive room.
"You know you can call me Jill, honey, and it's no trouble at all."
Hannah plucked a berry from the bowl next to Lucy.
"You'll always be Mrs. Parsons to me."
"Can I call you Jill?"
Lucy cut in. She quickly flipped a row of pancakes and then flicked her spatula at Hannah to keep her hand away from the berry bowl.
"If you give me a grandbaby as cute as this one."
Jill picked up Chloe, who let out a squeal.
"You can call me whatever your heart desires."
Jill spun Chloe around in a circle as the little girl screamed with excitement.
"Why are you dressed like that?"
Lucy asked, pointing her spatula at Hannah again like it was an extension of her body. Hannah rolled her eyes and plucked another berry from the bowl.
"I'm going to the funeral, and I think you should come with me."
Lucy let out a hoarse, unexpected laugh.
"That's not happening."
"Come on, let's take the high road. I think it will be good for you."
Lucy glared and flipped the pancakes onto a plate just before they burnt. She never burnt the pancakes, and damn if Robert Westmore would be the reason she started.
"I do not need that old buzzard thinking, even from the grave, that anyone misses him."
"Mommy, what's an old buzzard?"
Chloe asked as she played with the necklace Jill wore.
"A buzzard is a bird, honey," Hannah said,
glaring right back at Lucy.
"Your auntie is just very creative with words. All that reading..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?